up there. That's okay. It's okay. Good to be with you on this Sabbath, and I want to let you know that I have been out visiting some of you. I was down in Silver Springs the other day, and then over down in Gardnerville, and enjoyed the visits that I had in the homes. And I just want you to know I am out visiting. It's going to take me a while to get around to each and every person, but I will make it. I will make it. So just be patient. Be very patient. Before we begin, a little caveat. My sermon today is in no way an insinuation that what I'm going to be talking about is happening here in this congregation. But as I always say, if the shoe fits, then wear it. Okay? All right. Well, let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for the privilege of speaking to my brothers and sisters here this morning. Thank you for using this jar of clay. Fill me with your presence, Lord. Speak through me. And as we hear your word today, may we know that we have had a life-transforming, supernatural encounter with a living God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to start off with a story this morning. It was one of those fifth Sabbaths that I take off. And I was still pastoring in Baker City at this time. And my wife and I decided to visit a church in the Treasure Valley, Nampa Seventh-day Adventist Church. We had never ever attended this church, and we were directed to a very large Sabbath school. And it was a very good Sabbath school class, up until a point. Suddenly, a woman said the following. And I don't know what stimulated her to even bring this up. But here is what she said. She said, "Have you heard? Have you heard about that church in Baker City, Oregon?" Which is the church that I pastor. "Have you heard about the pastor at the Baker City Seventh-day Adventist Church?" And immediately my wife and I looked at each other. We were anxious to hear what this lady was going to say about the Baker City congregation and about the pastor, Baker City Church. And here's what she said. Here's what she said. "Have you heard that the pastor at Baker City is promoting a gay lifestyle?" My wife and I looked at each other. We knew exactly what she was talking about. Let me enlighten you on what she was talking about. Have any of you ever heard of a man by the name of Wayne Blakely? He is a Seventh-day Adventist who lives in Vancouver, Washington. Now, Wayne grew up as a Seventh-day Adventist, but obviously somewhere along the road, he strayed from the way of Jesus. And for many, many years, Wayne Blakely lived an active gay lifestyle. He has a tremendous ministry today that reaches out to people who are struggling with a gay lifestyle. His testimony is absolutely tremendous, because it is a testimony to the power of Jesus Christ. Amen. The power of Jesus Christ to overcome any and all sin in our lives. Amen. He is no longer practicing a gay lifestyle. Amen. Yes, he may have those tendencies, but he no longer practices that type of lifestyle. And this is his calling: to share the power of God in his life. Well, we had asked Wayne to speak at the Baker City Seventh-day Adventist Church. And I know that there were other members at the church who were very unhappy with the fact that we had asked a formerly gay man to share his testimony. And somehow one of the members at Baker City had called this woman in Nampa, spreading the rumor that I was promoting a gay lifestyle. My dear wife took this lady aside and told her that I was the Baker City Seventh-day Adventist Church pastor. Her face turned 50 shades of red instead of 50 shades of gray. And she didn't say much. But my wife was very, very kind with this woman. Let me ask you this question. What is slander? What is slander? Slander is accusatory speech that damages, that injures, and that even destroys another person's reputation, right? Slander is accusatory speech that damages, hurts, or even destroys another person's reputation. It is nothing less, my brothers and sisters, it is nothing less than character assassination. It is smearing another person's name. It is smearing another person's character. It is smearing another person's reputation. Slander, gossip, scuttlebutt, whatever you want to call it. It's all the same stuff. My brothers and sisters, we are in the throes of a cosmic war. A cosmic conflict. And what is the primary issue in this conflict? Character. God's character. Has not God's character been slandered? Has not God's reputation been damaged? How did this cosmic conflict begin? And how does it continue? I want to share with you a brief biographical sketch of the angelic being who is responsible for this cosmic conflict that we are all a part of. You've looked at this many, many times before, but let's look at it from a bit different angle. Ezekiel chapter 28. You were anointed as a guardian cherub. More precisely, as a covering cherub. For so I ordained you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked among the fiery stones. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created until wickedness was found in you. Now listen, through your widespread trade, you were filled with violence and you sinned. I want to zero in on this noun, trade, widespread trade. Because when you look at this word in the original language in which the Old Testament was written in, which is Hebrew, it is a word that is pronounced rakula. And do you know what rakula means? It is more precisely translated as someone who peddles gossip and slander. In other words, rakula means going from person to person, peddling or selling slander or gossip. Now remember, this is a description of an angelic being by the name of Lucifer. Okay, keeping that in mind, let's go back. Let's go back and look at this really as the way that it should be translated. You were anointed as a guardian cherub, for so I ordained you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked among the fiery stones. He was in God's very presence. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. Through your widespread trading of slander, you were filled with violence and you sinned. Do you hear it? Do you hear what this angelic being was doing in the heavenly sanctuary, in the very throne room of God? What was he doing? He was going from angel to angel, and what was he doing? He was peddling in slander, in gossip concerning God's character. And it was through this slander that he convinced one out of three of the angelic beings to join him in his rebellion against God. All because of slander. All because of gossip concerning God's character. Now that tells you how serious slander really is. And again, who was the being who was doing this? Lucifer, or the devil. And by the way, the word devil, diabolos, means slanderer or accuser. So Satan, the devil, Lucifer, whatever you want to call him, he's the mother of all slanderers. Slander started in his warped mind. In the heavenly sanctuary of God. Now, let's bring it on home to us. Let's bring it on home. Do you realize that if I slander another human being, if I slander another human being, that Jesus takes it very, very personally? In fact, he takes slander against another human being so seriously that if I slander another human being, it's as if I am slandering Jesus himself.
It's true.
You say, what do you mean, Pastor? Do you remember a parable that Jesus told? The tale of the sheep and the goats. Do you remember this? It's all about the coming of Jesus. And what happens when Jesus comes? There is a great separation of the human race. There are the sheep and there are the goats. Do you remember what Jesus says to the sheep? Remember what he says? He says, "You will be happy in my kingdom. Come, enter my kingdom." And then what does he do? What does he do? He says, "I was naked and you clothed me. I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink." And he goes on with all of these things. And the sheep are looking at each other and wondering what Jesus is talking about. What do they say? When did we do all these things to you? We never did all these things to you. You were never naked. We never clothed you. You were never thirsty. We never gave you a drink. And what does Jesus say? "Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me," or "you did to me." Now, there's another group. And who are they? The goats. What does Jesus say to them? He says, "I was naked and you did not clothe me. I was thirsty and you didn't give me something to drink. I was hungry and you didn't feed me." And they too are looking at each other in puzzlement. And they're saying, "When did we neglect you, Jesus? When did we fail to do these things to you?" And what does Jesus say? "Truly, I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me, or you did not do to me. Do you hear what Jesus is saying? Do you hear what he's saying? Jesus identifies himself so intimately with the human race that whatever we do to another brother or sister, it's as if we do it to Jesus. And not whatever we fail to do to another brother or sister, it's as if we fail to do it to Jesus. Do you hear what he's saying? So what happens if Pastor Tony Brandon engages in slanderous behavior towards another human being? What am I doing? Jesus takes it very personally, as if I am slandering his character and his reputation. That puts it on a whole new plane, doesn't it? That puts it on a whole new plane. Now, we are taught by Jesus to love our neighbor. Is that correct?
Amen.
So how do I know? How do I know that I'm loving my neighbor? Or more precisely, how can I practice love for my neighbor? Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. This is a summary of Scripture. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. Frank Viola has a very interesting commentary on this verse from an article that he wrote, The Forgotten Words of Jesus. Listen, consequently, if you don't wish for your motives to be imputed with evil, then don't impute others with evil motives. If you don't wish to be judged, then don't judge others. If you don't wish to be gossiped about, then don't gossip about others. If you don't wish to be personally attacked, then don't attack others personally. If you wish others to give you the benefit of the doubt and think the best of you, then give others the benefit of the doubt and think the best of them. If you wish to be treated with kindness and understanding, then treat others with kindness and understanding. If you wish to be forgiven, then forgive others. If you want others to defend you when you're under attack, then defend others when they're under attack. Do unto others as you would have them do to you. Here's the point. How, in God's name, can I claim to love another human being and at the same time defame that person's name and character and reputation? Cannot, right? Cannot. You see, if I love my neighbor, and who is my neighbor, by the way? Everybody, anybody in need. And who's in need? Everybody's in need. If I engage in slanderous talk against another human being, how can I claim to love that person? It's a contradiction. It's a contradiction. Cannot be. And by the way, would I want anyone to slander me?
Nope.
Would you want anyone to slander you?
Nope.
So why do we do it to others? If we don't want somebody slandering us, then why do we slander them?
Got a bend.
Yeah. What is the church? What's the position that we hold in today's world? What is the church? Listen to what Paul says. Ephesians 1:23. Now, I realize this is from the Message. It's a paraphrase. But it gets the point across. Okay? The church is what? Christ's body. The church is Christ's body, in which He speaks and acts, by which He fills everything with His presence. Do you understand what Paul is saying? The church is the ongoing life and ministry of Jesus in the world. The life, the church is the ongoing incarnation of the life and ministry of Jesus. We represent Jesus to Carson City, right? We are Jesus to Carson City and the surrounding area. As He was in the world, so the church is to be. I shared this with you before. Acts of the Apostles, the church. And the church is not the building, folks. It's the people in the building. The church is God's appointed agency for the salvation, for the healing of the world. It was organized for service, and its mission is to carry the good news about God to the world. From the beginning, it has been God's plan that through His church shall be reflected to the world His fullness, His sufficiency, His character. Continuing. The members of the church, those whom He has called out of darkness into His marvelous light, are to show forth His glory. And glory is just another synonym in the Scripture for character. So what are we to do? Reveal the character of God to our respective communities. The church is the repository, that is, the treasure house of the riches of the grace of Christ. Now listen to this. Through the church will eventually be made manifest even to the principalities and powers in heavenly places the final and full display of the love of God. That's marvelous. That is marvelous. Absolutely marvelous. God has chosen fallen human beings to be a revelation of His character of love to the world. We are to continue the life and the ministry of Jesus in our respective churches. Now, Since this is so, when slander finds its way into the body of Christ, what are we doing? What are we doing? What are we doing? Are we not misrepresenting the character of God? Are we not, in fact, joining with that fallen angel in Operation God's Smear, smearing God's character, smearing God's name, smearing God's reputation, when we engage in slander in the church because we claim to be the representative of Jesus, and whatever people see in us, that's the way they think God is. And how can we do that? How can we do that to Jesus? How can we do that to the God who made the absolutely free choice to give up the worship and adoration of the heavenly beings forever? How can we do that to a God who was willing to leave the indescribable, unspeakable glories of heaven forever? How can we do that knowing that Jesus was willing even to give up His relationship of delight and joy and ecstasy with the Heavenly Father and the Holy Spirit forever? How can we slander knowing that Jesus was willing to experience everlasting death for us? I like the way one author puts it. When Jesus was faced with eternal loss, knowing that He could either save Himself at an eternal and infinite loss to me, or He could save me at an eternal and infinite loss to Himself, love for me overwhelmed the heart of this God hanging upon a cross for me. His heart gripped tighter to me. He would not let me go at any cost to himself. He loves me. He screams out his heart cry for me. I will save that young man. I will save that woman. I will save that man at any cost to myself. And he bowed his head and died. So how can we misrepresent the character of a God who is willing to do anything to save us? What's the solution? What's the solution? Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. When you're joined with me and I with you, the relation intimate and organic, the harvest is sure to be abundant. Separated, you can't produce a thing. Amen. So what's the solution, my brothers and sisters? Yes, this organic, living, thriving connection with Jesus. And what happens when we are connected with Jesus? Did Jesus ever slander another human being?
No.
He didn't even slander Lucifer. So what happens? What happens if we are joined to Jesus? Will there be slander in the body of Christ?
No.
No, absolutely not. Because we know that slander represents the character of a fallen angel, not the character of a crucified and risen Lord. October of 2011. There was an article, the Associated Press. Here's what happened. Mumbai, India. 285 young Indian girls. They're involved in a name-changing ceremony. They all have the very same name. Nakusa, Nakushi, which in Hindi means unwanted. You know, guess what? In India, it is a male-centered culture, just like in my wife's culture in Malaysia, the Chinese culture. They're not interested in girls. They want boys. So often, when an Indian family has a little girl, they give her the name Nakusa or Nakushi, which means unwanted. Not only that, that's why the abortion rate and the neglect rate among girls in India is among the highest in the world. Because people want males. They want boys. Girls are not valued. So they're called unwanted. Nakusa, Nakushi. Each one of these girls had this name, Nakusa and Nakushi, unwanted. But this name-changing ceremony was meant to change that. Let me read to you some excerpts from this article. I quote, the 285 girls wearing their best outfits with barrettes, braids, and bows in their hair lined up to receive certificates with their new names along with small flower bouquets. Now it's interesting the names that these girls chose. Names like pretty, names like prosperous, names like beautiful, names like good, or even very tough. There was one girl with the name of Nakushi. She was given that name by her grandfather, who was disappointed that she was a girl. This is the comment that she makes. I quote, now in school, my classmates and friends will be calling me by this new name, and that makes me very happy. End quote. A new name. Do you realize in the book of Revelation, Wesley, there are a group of people who have a name. They have a new name. It is inscribed on their foreheads. I'm talking about the 144,000. I saw, it took my breath away, the Lamb standing on Mount Zion. 144 standing there with Him. His name, that is the name of the Lamb, and the name of His Father, inscribed on their foreheads. Now what does that mean in the Hebrew way of thinking that they had the name of the Lamb and the name of the Father inscribed on their foreheads? What does that mean in the Hebrew way of thinking? Yes, they have His character. They have the character of the Lamb, and if you have the character of the Lamb, you have the character of the Father. Because Jesus says, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. We are one in character, in nature, in purpose. So here you have a group of people who are like God in character. Notice, I heard a voice out of heaven, the sound like a cataract, like the crash of thunder. And then I heard music, harp music, and the harpist singing a new song before the throne and the four animals and the elders. Only the 144,000 could learn to sing the song. They were bought from earth, lived without compromise, virgin, fresh before God. They were 100% faithful and loyal to their husband, Jesus. Wherever the Lamb went, they followed. They followed. They were bought from humankind, first fruits of the harvest for God and the Lamb. Not a what? Not a false word in their mouths. A perfect offering. Not a false word was found in their mouths. Why? Why? Because their hearts had been conquered by the love that reached its highest zenith at a place called Calvary. Their hearts were conquered by that self-sacrificial, non-violent, enemy-embracing love that God demonstrated at Calvary when He hung between heaven and earth. They were possessed by God. They were like Jesus in character. And they will do nothing willingly to misrepresent the Lamb and their Heavenly Father. Brothers and sisters, I want to be like that. What about you? I want to let that love conquer my heart. I want to shun all slander, all gossip, scuttlebutt, whatever you want to call it, like the plague, because it misrepresents God. And when I engage in that type of behavior, I'm stepping into the ranks of a deceptive angel who is responsible for this whole mess that we are in. So let's pray. Let's pray that Jesus will reproduce His character in our lives fully. Please pray with me. Father in heaven, Lord, I'm guilty of this. This message is for me. I'm not here to point any fingers, but I'm preaching to myself. There's so many times when I have misrepresented You. There's so many times when I have freely chosen to step out of Your ranks into the ranks of the enemy. I ask, Father, for Your forgiveness. And I pray that Your character will be reproduced in each one of us here. And that we will be among the 144,000. Those who have the character of the Lamb and the character of the Father. Those who are virgin, fresh, completely faithful, completely loyal to the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.